Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, charliekirk.com. You can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. We are on radio stations across the country and also streaming live here on Facebook and on YouTube. For the months leading up to the election, there was a conventional conservative talking point and narrative that I repeated and many people were saying. We were saying that right after the election, all of these restrictions will go away, the virus will be handled, and the lockdowns will end. President Donald Trump oversaw a phenomenal and rapid program and plan to get Pfizer, amongst other private actors, to deliver news around the vaccine. Now, regardless of your opinions of vaccines, it's good news for the markets. It's good news for people that believe that it's going to help them. I'm not going to take the Chinese coronavirus vaccine. However, phenomenal accomplishment by President Trump and his government task force. We said over and over again that as soon as the election happens, we are going to lift these restrictions because then Democrats can no longer use lockdowns to hurt Donald Trump. That was the equation that we were using to make that determination. If you remember L.A. County, the woman who's not even a doctor who oversees public health, she came out and said, we're going to have shutdowns and lockdowns until Election Day. And what's been incredible to see, and just something that quite honestly I missed and I shouldn't have missed it, is that Democrat governors are now locking down their states and their municipalities more severely now that the election is over. We are now actually able to see the true intentions, what politicians actually believe and actually feel, now that at least the voting in most of these states is over. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has just announced a second round of the most draconian, medieval, and immoral lockdowns. I'm reading from the New York Times, Sarah Mervosh. The scene was familiar. Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, addressing a rapidly escalating coronavirus surge in her state, stood at a lectern and somberly announced new restrictions meant to stop the virus from spreading out of control. Why is it when the New York Times writes about Democrat governors, it feels as if this is some sort of narrative form that it's trying to pose them as some sort of hero? Within hours, the backlash began. As the coronavirus crisis mounts with renewed force in the United States, surpassing 11 million total cases, which means nothing, cases are irrelevant, and threatening to overwhelm hospitals across the country, governors, mayors, and other officials are ordering restrictions and once again find themselves in the cross currents of public health and an economic crisis. Governor Gavin Newsom, who is the governor of California, has just come out and is announcing the most restrictive Chinese coronavirus tier. I'm reading from townhall.com from Courtney O'Brien, where Gavin Newsom has announced, "We're sounding the alarm," Newsom said in a statement. "California is experiencing the fastest increase in cases we have seen yet, faster than what we experienced at the outset of the pandemic or even this summer." Now, of course, Gavin Newsom was quick to go to French Laundry in Napa Valley. And for those of you that have never been to Napa Valley and never been to that part of the world, you're very lucky. I'm not a big fan of that part of the world. Bunch of ruling class liberals that enjoy talking about how awful Trump supporters and conservatives are. However, I've been in Napa Valley several times. French Laundry is the absolute dining place. It is the picnic table of America's ruling class. When they're not in Davos, when they're not in Malibu, they are eating at French Laundry. It is by appointment only. Sometimes you have to wait months to get a reservation. And of course, Gavin Newsom just waltzes in because he's the governor of California, breaks his own rules about gathering. And what does he do? He blames the restaurant and doesn't take responsibility for it himself. Same with Nancy Pelosi, who wanted to get her hair done when it violated those restrictions. Or same as Governor Gretchen Whitmer's husband, who shows up to go boating and the people say, we can't do that. And he says, don't you know who my wife is? Kind of, don't you know who I am? Come on, stupid citizens. Let me have some recreational time. And what's so fascinating about this, and again, I should have saw this, is that now that the Democrats don't have to worry about elections, are they actually going to embrace freedom? And this goes to a much more important and fundamental and philosophical point, which is, who are you when you don't have to worry about what people, whether or not you'll lose your power? And again, elections eventually will come, but it's not in the midst of kind of the pressure of an election. And who are the Democrats? Free of electoral checks and balances. They are power hungry autocrats. Freedom is not a value that Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom or Andrew Cuomo care about. And incredibly, Andrew Cuomo published a book in the midst of all of this last month, as if the crisis is over and he did such a wonderful and phenomenal job. Evidently, he believes that we're still in the midst of this crisis. And so the question should then be, what are the Democrats trying to do? Why are they locking down these states again? Lockdowns do not work. Closing schools do not work. Allowing people to shelter in place voluntarily, respecting people's liberty and responsibility, that is the only way to treat this epidemiological Pearl Harbor that was sent to us by the Chinese Communist Party. It's the only way to handle it. We know that. We know that lockdowns, central planning did nothing. That's right, nothing to stop the spread. All it did is delay the inevitable. That is all it did. And with it, crushed small businesses, depression, mental health, suicide, alcoholism, drug use, social isolation, family disintegration, sexual abuse, spousal abuse, all up exponentially. And yet governors want to go into it again. Why? It's because this crisis opens an opportunity to make America in their image, and with it, the entire planet. In fact, a politician the other day, I can't remember who said it, it was one of the power-hungry, power-grabbing Democrat politicians, admitted, what a great opportunity we have right now. Justin Trudeau said it. That's right. Let's get the Justin Trudeau quote. Justin Trudeau said, again, I'm doing 6 hours of research a day, so sometimes I get kind of beta male prime ministers confused. And so Justin Trudeau called it the Great Reset. And Lori Lightfoot, who is the mayor of Chicago, who's a very weak woman. Again, she's weak, not corrupt. Big difference. Rahm Emanuel was corrupt. Lori Lightfoot is weak. Big difference. I actually prefer corrupt over weak. I do. I'd much rather have someone that's getting paid off by all the developers and actually make sure the city is still kind of not disintegrating than someone who's completely weak and allows everything to fall apart around them. Listen to this very carefully of what Lori Lightfoot has to say. Play tape.
Prerogative works is there's got to be compliance with the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance and you make it a mandate. And then you do training, particularly in the city, I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly. And you pick the people that run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. And then I think you have the inspector general do some spot audits to make sure that there is real compliance.
Pledging allegiance to the new world order. Kind of feels like the Great Reset meeting they have coming up in Davos, Switzerland. There's something behind these lockdowns that we must continue to focus on and unpack. And it actually will impact our entire civilization and also impact whether or not President Donald Trump gets a second term. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranch's free Hickory Honey Holiday Ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory Honey Smoked Ham for free. The Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone-free, and 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you'll ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And the best part is 100% free with every new subscription. Sign up today and get yours before we run out. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken, and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. Chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners only with American ranches from across the U.S. to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. So go to GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com. It's the place to go. It's GoodRanchersOfTheNest.com. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you go to GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. The fully grown infant who runs the country of Canada said recently to the United Nations that this Chinese coronavirus, as Tucker Carlson says, which has a 99% survival rate, probably even higher than that because you don't even know all the cases, because a lot of people get this without us even knowing it. And the testing is very suspicious at best. Just look at Elon Musk's most recent tweet about it, where he said he was tested four times in one day, two positives, two negatives, with no symptoms whatsoever. The ruling class sees this as an opportunity to make the globe in their image. That's why they're locking everything down again. They see this as an opportunity to pass Medicare for all, to get rid of fossil fuels, to eradicate private property, everything on their wish list that they have wanted to do for the last couple decades, and with it, the last century, is finally within reach because of fear. Fear dominates people. And one thing that we should have saw more clearly, and we did talk about it with lockdown Joe Biden, and he'll lock down the country again. But one thing that we kept on telling people is that these lockdowns will disappear right after the election. Why did we think that? We thought that because we actually thought that most Democrats and most people that are in power that are on the left actually want what's best for their citizens. And this was foolish. Instead, we should have said, of course, Democrats don't want what's best for people. They want what's best for them. They want the most amount of power, and they want to make the planet conform to their rigid ideological agenda. Don't believe me? Listen to the fully grown infant. I'll stop there. Let's listen to Justin Trudeau.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Oh, okay. So now we get it. As Tucker mentioned last evening, and the point fits perfectly into what we've been saying, now we have a chance to be in charge permanently. Climate change, getting rid of fossil fuels, what a great opportunity. It's not actually about stopping the virus. It's about having a list of demands that predated the virus that now we can implement because all of a sudden there's a crisis. And the metrosexual Justin Trudeau, who is a great living testament why every single man on the planet should lift weights and eat red meat and not follow whatever sort of agenda he's trying to push on the planet, who runs an entire country, is now all of a sudden saying, we need to use this crisis as an opportunity to attack systemic poverty. Well, did you know because of these lockdowns that they're going to do in your state right now, all across the country, and all across the planet that over 100 million people have now gone back into poverty because of these lockdowns. Play tape of Tucker Carlson last evening.
Watch this video from September. You may not have seen it. It wasn't played much in this country. This is the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, speaking to the United Nations.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Oh, this is our chance, says Justin Trudeau. Not our chance to save you from a virus with a 99% survival rate. You'll almost certainly be fine, and they're fully aware of that. This is our chance to impose totally unprecedented social controls on the population in order to bypass democracy and change everything to conform with their weird academic theories that have never been tested in the real world and, by the way, don't actually make sense. This is their chance.
And so it's going to get worse now. Any Democrat that's in control anywhere will lock us down and will extort us politically and culturally until they get what they want. They will break the back of private industry. They will keep our schools shuttered. They will destroy our tax base until they can finally achieve their goal, which is a permanent corporate class that all of us have to pay penance to, and a nationalist socialist agenda, national socialist agenda that will eradicate middle-class work and the muscular class in our country. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you just rather work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get with PureTalk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. If you're with them, you're overpaying pure and simple. PureTalk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. I wouldn't be putting my name behind this if I didn't know that these were veterans that love their country, unlike other people that are in the corporate space. I can tell you, if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to PureTalk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and just say Charlie Kirk. It's the password, secret word, Charlie Kirk. PureTalk, simply smarter, wireless. What if I told you that Georgia awarded a $107 million voting machine contract to Dominion back in July of 2019? This is governtechnology.com, govtech.com, back when this was not in the kind of the front part of the zeitgeist of the American political conversation. And it said, the Colorado-based company will supply the state with 30,000 touchscreen voting machines capable of printing paper ballots. The controversial technology is expected to bring court challenges. The article continues to say that Dominion Voting Systems has connections to Governor Brian Kemp's administration. It says Dominion has connections as well. One of Dominion's biggest lobbyists, Jared Thomas, has worked on Kemp's political campaigns since he first won a state Senate seat in 2002. He also worked previously for Kemp in the Secretary of State's office. Another Dominion lobbyist, Barry Heron, was vice president of Diebold Election Systems, the company that originally sold Georgia its electronic voting machines in 2002. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who's worthless, he's useless, said Dominion's voting system will protect Georgia's voters. He said, quote, election security is my top priority. We look forward to working with national and local election security experts to institute best practices and continue to safeguard all aspects of physical and cybersecurity in an ever-changing threat environment. And so Brad Raffensperger, due to recent revelations that Newt Gingrich shared with us on our podcast, and you guys can check out that interview that is dropping momentarily on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. It will also be our third hour of radio for those of you that got all 3 hours of our radio program. said that Brad Raffensperger from Georgia was heavily challenged legally from organizations that were created from Stacey Abrams, over $40 million. And Brad Raffensperger, who is the Secretary of State of Georgia, basically gave Stacey Abrams everything she asked for. You see, back in the 2018 election and back in the 2016 election, a much higher percentage of absentee ballots were rejected in Georgia. Now, more people voted absentee because of the Chinese coronavirus and because of weak Republicans allowing ballots to be sent out to every living, breathing soul and person, dead or alive, dog, cat, infant. There were ballots being sent out for everyone. It was like Oprah Winfrey giving out cars at a live viewing in Harpo Studio, Chicago. Everyone got a ballot. The question is, why were Republicans not fighting Stacey Abrams on this? Newt Gingrich, who knows the state of Georgia probably better than anyone else, said that current modeling shows that if prior absentee ballot rejections were applied to this year absentee ballot requests, 40,000 votes would have been tossed out, almost all of which were for Joe Biden, which would have been a comfortable victory for Donald Trump. There were almost no absentee ballots that were rejected. But the point is that this election in certain states, we were playing with a different landscape. We were playing with a different terrain, to use a Sun Tzu term in the art of war. And while we were worried about arguments and ideas, the left was changing the terrain of which the battle was being fought on. And Sun Tzu talked about this in the Art of War. Worry not much about as much about the tactics, but first worry about the terrain. Were you fighting uphill or downhill? Are you fighting with good weather or bad weather? And will the terrain actually benefit you towards victory? While Stacey Abrams was not actually worrying about winning voters over around ideas and issues, she was changing how elections were actually operating. We as Republicans have been just disinterested in the mechanics of elections. And now we are realizing, we are now living through that it actually matters a lot more the terrain of the election than actually the substance of the election. When you do not get the terrain correct, it's irrelevant whether or not the people are with you, because then you are wide open for potential voter registration fraud, absentee ballot fraud. And it is just a verifiable fact that absentee ballots were rejected at a much higher rate in Georgia prior to Stacey Abrams coming in with a very high-priced, very reputable Washington, D.C. law firm. She raised $40 million from Hollywood elites and liberals that domicile themselves in Georgia for a much more competitive tax rate and also for film credits, and also many of the corporate titans that live in Atlanta, including, do you know what's headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia? CNN. We forget about this. That's CNN's headquarters. Ted Turner started it in Georgia. And so now Georgia has kind of become the center of the American political universe. And it's not a good thing for Republicans, because Georgia used to be a comfortably Republican state. And what do comfortably Republican states usually produce? Corrupt Republicans. When states are comfortably Republican and Democrats are not in positions of leadership, well, Republicans don't have to worry as much about winning the will of voters. And Republicans then are able to then act like how Democrats do in the urban cities, because they don't have to compete for power and they are just able to scoop up all of the metaphorical spoils for themselves. Georgia is no different. This is why in Georgia you've all of a sudden seen almost sloppy politics, antiquated techniques, and behind the times strategists scrambling to now try to win two critically imperative Senate races in Georgia. And you want to see who's going to try to now impact these two Senate races for Senator Kelly Loeffler and Senator David Perdue? Can we play the tape from TikTok of this guy? This is what the Hollywood liberals and Californians, this is what they think of voters in Georgia. This is who's trying to take over Georgia, because they've cared about the terrain while we just cared about trying to persuade people with leaflets and mailers. Play tape.
I'm so sorry to bother you on the Lord's Day, but I just wanted to make sure that y'all were all set up for our runoff election for Senate on January 5th. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, bless y'all. Yes. Yes, we have Pastor Warnock and we have Mr. Ossoff. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's great news. Okay. Well, thanks so much. Y'all have a great day. Okay. Bye-bye now. Whatever it takes.
This is a guy in Los Angeles phone banking to Georgia, pandering with a southern accent, saying, sorry to bother you on the Lord's Day, hangs up the phone, looks into the camera and says, whatever it effing takes. And just looks like it's an activist who says that right into the camera. And for those of you on radio, the caption of the video says, quote, me in Los Angeles talking to voters in Georgia. Californians are flooding in to Georgia right now, some of which are changing their residency, like Andrew Yang, which I don't even think is legal, to try to make America in their image. Again, why any state has this ridiculously stupid, I'm just going to use that word, runoff system is beyond me. I think it was created by and for political consultants to make money twice over, so that they can send more leaflets and mailers that no one's going to read that's going to fill mailboxes, and they can get their 10%. I'm actually convinced that's the reason. This runoff idea is exhausting. It creates political fatigue. And if the Republicans lose, they're going to own this. And so we see here the $107 million voting machine contract to Dominion from Georgia. We see the connections that it has to powerful people in the state of Georgia. And breaking recently, Washington Times says Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger, said that Trump netted about 800 votes after a memory stick issue. Oh, thanks for telling us. So President Donald Trump, what if there was a memory stick issue in every single county? 800 votes is a lot of votes, everybody. It's a lot. Washington Times, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said Tuesday that Trump ended up netting about 800 additional votes after an audit of the state election results found that 2,600 ballots that weren't counted the first time. He said that the memory stick issue was a product of human error. I'd like to know which human error that was and what party they were affiliated with. If we actually fought on the terrain and were unafraid of being called the R word, racist, then Donald Trump probably would have won the state of Georgia. And I should be even more clear, wrongly and baselessly called that word. And here's the significance of all this. Brad Raffensperger, who's in charge of all the elections in the state of Georgia, he was challenged aggressively by Stacey Abrams, who never conceded to Brian Kemp, by the way, and tied up the election in the courts. And Brad Raffensperger was probably afraid of a lot of articles being written about him saying he was trying to suppress the vote, because they go on MSNBC and they say it over and over again, despite evidence to the contrary. And because of that, he allowed more relaxed standards to be implemented with absentee ballot requests and submissions in the state of Georgia. Now, do you see the significance of us not fighting when it matters? You see, the Democrats are relentless. The Democrats continue to spend hundreds of millions of dollars despite losing by double digits in some of these states. They keep on pouring in the money because they believe eventually that the metaphorical dam will break. I know a lot of you are on edge and anxious, and you're saying, where is the bombshell? I'm right there with you. I am now waiting for Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani to drop, as Dinesh D'Souza calls it, the political Moab, the mother of all bombs. because there has been a lot of claims in the last couple days that we have been following that would explain all of these irregularities. And it could involve Dominion voting systems. It could involve hammer and scorecard. It could involve all of it. And we need to stay on top of it. And it has to happen soon because time is running short. It's never too easy to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they'll use every day. Raycon wireless earbuds. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. So this Christmas season, get them something that they can use for calls or music, for work or play at home or on the go, or pick up a pair yourself. Trust me, you're going to use them every day. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your first Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time today, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. Buyraycon.com/Kirk. They're amazing wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Kirk. The Democrats are in a form of prevent defense, and they're just trying to run out the clock. They know that there is something to this Dominion voting system's hammer and scorecard. The undervote, 500,000 people that voted just for Joe Biden, the discrepancy, the irregularities, the fact that we're supposed to believe without asking any questions that Joe Biden did better in Dane County, Madison, Wisconsin, with the University of Wisconsin-Madison being mostly closed and shuttered in than Barack Obama did in 2008, not a chance. And even asking the question now can get you deplatformed and derailed from social media. And we have a lot to talk about in the social media space as these tech oligarchs have been testifying in front of Congress today. But a lot of people are messaging us at freedom@charliekirk.com. They're saying, what can we do? What can we do? I want to give you a couple websites of people that are on top of all of this stuff. There's a phenomenal website that has been created that we are talking about here on this program about verifying the vote. I want to make sure I get this correctly, the link correctly. Verify the election. It is verifytheelection.com. Verifytheelection.com. This is one of the websites. Sign up for it. Tell them that our program sent you. It has an incredible amount of signers right now. And you sign the petition right there at verifytheelection.com. There are other websites as well that really are doing a phenomenal job. And there are people that need your help. Sidney Powell. And also there's another website, everylegalvote.com. Everylegalvote.com. And Sidney Powell as well has been saying that there is a bombshell that will be coming out very, very soon around the election and possibly President Donald Trump serving 4 more years effective in January. But here's the difficulty, everybody, and this is why we must keep the pressure on, and that's why we are doing what we are doing here. People that are saying for Trump just to move on, it's gross. It is one of the most aggressive, one of the most flagrant violations of elections and of how we appoint and elect leaders in our country in the history of America, by far the history of America. And if we allow this to pass, then there may never be another election again that will go our way. So the question then should be, why aren't more institutional Republicans caring about this? The reason is that many people in Republican leadership, and there are some that are still speaking out here and there, they actually want Donald Trump out of the Republican Party. They want Donald Trump gone. They want to go back to the Chamber of Commerce think tank agenda where they just throw around ideas of how to keep endless wars going, what trade deals can we create that will pander to China and open up our borders completely and totally. The question is most important The most important question right now is, are we prepared to do what is necessary to uncover this? The Electoral College starts meeting in December. We are weeks away from that. President Donald Trump has said that he is going to file legal action that is dramatic imminently. And we are waiting for the Dominion voting systems data that Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell have said exists. And we are more than waiting. We are ready to amplify it because we know that these irregularities did not happen naturally, that there was an artificial intrusion, that there was an artificial interference into our election. Now, the depth of it, we do not know. But the more that we ask questions, the less answers we actually get from the Democrats and from the chattering class. Instead, they say, sit down and shut up. You lost. Give us power. Go look at Joe Biden's transition team. And isn't it curious how much Barack Obama has been doing media lately? Why now? It's a very interesting theory I have around that. Barack Obama has been on TV talking about how awful Donald Trump is. I thought the election was over. Why would he be talking so much about that? People come to me all the time. They say, Charlie, how do I write a good resume? What do I put? What catches the eye? Because we at Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, and the Charlie Kirk Show, we hire a combined hundreds of people a year. I know what it takes to make a good resume pop. And now there's a company that actually does it for you. It's called Top Resume. Top Resume is the world's number one authority on resume writing. Professional writers with specific expertise in resume writing. Recruiters and hiring managers lean on tech solutions to scan resumes for top picks. Top resume writers know the keywords to use to get your resume seen. When was the last time you wrote a resume? Do you know what it takes to get noticed when applying for jobs in today's competitive market? I've seen what they do. You guys want a job? Then use Top Resume. No excuses. Find out how your resume stacks up. Go to topresume.com/Kirk to get a free resume review. It's as simple as uploading your resume to their site, and you'll get a free evaluation and expert advice on how to make it stronger. Topresume.com is also giving my listeners 15% off their professional resume writing services. So go to topresume.com/Kirk today for your comprehensive resume review and 15% off resume writing services if you want to work with a pro. That's topresume.com/Kirk, topresume.com/Kirk. If you understand the left, these lockdowns make perfect sense. And I underestimated how much these Democrats were actually driven by ideology and not by actually delivering some form of a habitable country for their citizens. They're going to shut down many states again. California and Michigan have shut down indoor dining. Philadelphia severely limiting indoor gatherings. Now, why didn't they do this before the election? The reason is because lockdowns are very unpopular. They're unpopular because they destroy the muscular class in this country and middle class workers and small business workers. But the Zoom and the Skype class, they do just fine when you shut down and lock down an entire country. But the reason they are doing this is they want conflict. They want a problem. Creating a problem and creating something that is a crisis then allows a state to expand their influence and their power so that then all of a sudden they can achieve their agenda. Their agenda of abolishing private property, of abolishing fossil fuels, where everyone rents, no one owns. And if you don't believe me, just look at what the World Economic Forum, which has now published something called the Great Reset, said just a couple of years ago. They had a checklist of what they think the world will look like in 2030. They said America will no longer be the superpower of the world. That's their agenda. They said that fossil fuels will be taxed and carbon emissions will be thought of as dangerous pollutants, despite natural gas helping more people break out of poverty than any other mineral that we've ever discovered and we've ever used in the history of the planet. The World Economic Forum also said in this video that people will rent, not own, and you'll be happy. It literally says in the video, you'll be happy. They say that the Western ideas will be disintegrated and destroyed. The problem is that thanks to President Donald Trump's handling of this crisis, reopening our country, finding the proper therapeutics, the conflict is fading. Remember, people on the activist ideological left who are driven by ideology, they need conflict. They need it. Harmony does not allow them to expand the Leviathan. When we get along, when we are cooperative, when we are peaceful, then why would someone want to expand government dramatically? It's kind of like, life is okay. My wages are going up. I could pay my mortgage. I could take a vacation or two a year. I could spend time with my kids. My schools are not awful. I could drive on my roads. The police show up if I need them. I'm not going to totally revolutionize the country I live in. But all of a sudden, if you create crisis, then you're able to expand the state. For example, what's happening in Minneapolis? They got rid of their police force. Murders are up dramatically. Blood is flowing in the streets. Gives them an excuse to all of a sudden make themselves more powerful. More social programs, they say. More health care. The politicians become more important in times of crisis. The problem is that there is a crisis manufacturing industry in our country. And that's exactly what is happening right now with our handling of the Chinese coronavirus. No doubt it can impact a certain portion of the population. At the same time, it does not impact 99% of the American population significantly. Why are we shutting down our country again over something that we know how it operates? We have better therapeutics. We can treat it better. And we know lockdowns do not work. And we know the cost of lockdowns now. There's no more theorizing. There's no more conjecturing. There's no more using logic to actually try and say where this is going. We know where this is going. More young people will commit suicide because California is shutting down their state. More young people will commit suicide because Gretchen Whitmer is a power-hungry politician. That's why. And without getting too philosophical about it, this all ties into something that George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel talked about. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Again, I'm not going to get into the phenomenology of spirit and all that. It's a very, very complex philosophical concept. My good friend Bill Federer came up with a very, very good diagram that helps illustrate this, which is you create a problem that is very, very bad, and then you create an answer that is half as bad, and then people say, well, at least you have an answer that's not as bad as what we're living through. And that's exactly what Justin Trudeau is talking about. That is precisely what Gavin Newsom is talking about, and Gretchen Whitmer. They are creating a problem. The virus is not the problem. It's not. The lockdowns are the problem. The response to the virus is the problem. And for these people, this is their career. Why is that significant? I have an opportunity to meet many different titans of business, leaders of industry. They are always talking about how they want to scale their business. They want to build their company to be a better company, better products, more profitable. That is what drives them. For Gavin Newsom and for Gretchen Whitmer, their career is not building a business or creating value. It is building government. Their career is making the state more powerful and the citizen less significant. And they have stumbled into, they have backed into, thrown into their lap a virus that conveniently the media wants to cover as something that is quite, the science does not show what the media says. The science shows that there's a very high survivability rate. We know who it impacts. The therapeutics are working. We can get back to life, reopen the country. Look how Florida has re-embraced business openings, school openings. But yet we right now are on the verge of another set of lockdowns. Why? Because there's an agenda driven by ideology. I want to play cut 87 of Joe Biden saying that anyone who does not comply with his totalitarian impulses, they're actually not a patriot. Play tape.
Does anybody understand why a governor would turn this into a political statement? It's about patriotism. It's about being patriotic. It's about saving lives. For real. This is not hyperbole. It's about being patriotic.
Look, if you think a mask works, then wear one. However, there is no data at all to show that the wearing of masks has any sort of correlation with the stopping of the spread of the Chinese coronavirus. Again, and if you believe they work, then I'm not going to attack your own personal preferences. There are people that really believe that it helps them. However, what it does do is it gives you a false sense of security, because the evidence does not show that it is the solution that the media is portraying it as. It doesn't. And in fact, a lot of evidence is pointing to the exact opposite. In fact, there was a pro-mask study that was withdrawn after the virus spread in counties analyzed by researchers. Quote, because there are increased rates of the Chinese coronavirus in the areas that we originally analyzed in this study. Again, I'm a big believer in personal freedom and liberty. If you believe they work, then so be it. I'm not going to make that judgment call on that. That's up for every individual to do their own research. Go look at things before the pandemic, and then you can make your own calls on it. However, for Joe Biden to say that wearing a piece of cloth over your face somehow is a judgment call on how much you love your country, he is now all of a sudden engaging something that is demagogic in nature. He's a demagogue, and it is immoral. The love of our country is a love in its people, in our history, the tradition, the place of the United States of America, our ideas, our documents. Not in whether or not we will comply with some sort of edict that Governor Gavin Newsom wants us to wear a mask in California in between bites of eating a salad, which is exactly what he says. In fact, I would argue it's patriotic to challenge people in authority. I would argue it's patriotic to push back against baseless, scientifically questionable edicts from central planning authorities. There's a crisis manufacturing industry in our country because there's an agenda by very powerful, bored, rich people that are tired of visiting their private islands on their private jets and counting their multiple billions of dollars. And instead of actually trying to make the world a place where more people can succeed, where stronger families are created with a moral center, they spend their time trying to micromanage the rest of the countries on the planet and in the world as if we are nothing more than something out of some sort of Sims game. Remember Sims? Old show. Old game, I should say. People nowadays have no idea. Probably Age of Empires they might know. Maybe, maybe not. What is the Great Reset? The Great Reset is a plan. It is a script for where they want to lead us. Where the most powerful prime ministers, billionaires, Wall Street bankers, and corporate titans want to destroy everything that has made our civilization the greatest in the history of the planet. The Judeo-Christian ethic, private property rights, rule of law, the Constitution. And they believe they're close. Play tape.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
History would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset.
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
Reimagine, redesign, rebuild. Is there any more kind of cachet globalist phrase he didn't use in that with the prefix re? Revitalize. And soon you're going to have a revolt and a rebellion. We could play that game too. In fact, one of our great team members here, AG, found the Build Back Better phrase. We were watching the Joe Biden press conference, and he had the Build Back Better in the back, and we actually found out this was a United Nations Davos One World Government phrase that was used long before Joe Biden ran for the presidency. And so now they believe, the most powerful people on the planet, they believe they are in striking distance to crush you. This is the significance of us getting to the bottom of the Dominion voting systems, of the hammer and scorecard, Smartmatic, all of it. Because if the election results remain as the media wants them to, they will usher in a one-world agenda. We will seamlessly re-enter the TPP, Paris Climate Accord, Iran deal will be renegotiated, and the powerful bored, malevolent people will have the entire world at their disposal. And this is exactly why they want to shut down the country again. And right on cue, Technology Review, this guy sounds like he's a lot of fun, or she. I don't know who wrote this article, actually. It says, it's not too late to cancel Thanksgiving. Now, mind you, Technology Review never wrote an article that said it's not too late to cancel your BLM Incorporated protest. They never said it's not too late to cancel your abortion. They never said it was not too late to cancel the Los Angeles Lakers celebration when thousands of people went into the streets outside of the Staples Center. They never said it's not too late to cancel the Biden celebration. But they do want to cancel Thanksgiving. Why? This goes to a thesis I have had for quite some time. The left has always hated Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can be interpreted as a religious holiday if you believe in giving thanks to a creator. But they hate Thanksgiving because they believe there is nothing you should be thankful for in America. This is an awful place. It is cancerous, rotten to the core. Tear it all down. Burn it from within. Why would you be thankful? Instead, we need a revolution. Remember, as the Students for a Democratic Society radicals once wrote in the 1960s, they said, conflict is the origin of everything. What happens when you're thankful? By definition, you're less likely to be involved and engaged in conflict. Thanksgiving is supposed to de-escalate any sort of pre-existing issues in our country. And now they're using the virus as an excuse for you not to be thankful, are no longer thankful for the country that you live in. Well, then by definition, you will want to revolutionize the country around you. And then you will seek conflict, as the radicals say when I visit college campuses at our work that we do at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Conflict is the origin of everything. And once you have conflict and division, well, then you have chaos, violence, and people feel very insecure, and they're rooted in fear. Their actions are rooted in fear. People will then surrender all their freedoms to Newsom or Whitmer, who then they say, don't worry, just keep giving us power and we'll make everything okay. All of the agenda items that we have laid out that they want to accomplish at the Great Reset, whether or not we are going to lock down our country again, whether or not we are going to cripple normal people, whether or not we are going to break the backbone of Western civilization, is all dependent on whether or not we can get this election correct. All of it is dependent on whether or not we can get to a place where we can reasonably conclude whether or not this election was stolen by a group of very, very powerful people that wanted to see Donald Trump out of office. The great Sidney Powell was on Lou Dobbs last evening. I want to play some tape of Sidney Powell on Lou Dobbs giving some updates about Hammer Scorecard, Dominion Voting Systems, Smartmatic. Let's play Sidney Powell on Lou Dobbs.
And it goes on and on. He was in the control room where multiple digital display screens were shown for results and voting. The actual voting results were fed into that room and onto the displays over an internet feed, which was connected to a sophisticated computer system created by Smartmatic. People in that room were able to see in real time whether the vote that came through the electronic voting system was in their favor or against them. If one looked at any particular screen, they could determine that the vote from any specific area or as a national total was going to be against either candidate. Persons controlling the vote tabulation computer had the ability to change the reporting of votes by moving votes from one candidate to another by using the Smartmatic software.
So that was Sidney Powell reading a statement from a high-ranking military officer saying that someone was able to monitor the results in real time and possibly alter them. Then let's play cut 83 of Sidney Powell on how Maduro was able to shut down the voting for 2 hours to flip the vote. Sound familiar? Maduro, who's the evil dictator of Venezuela. Play cut 83.
So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic's machines used for voting in each state were connected to the internet, reported their information over the internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the results. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radonsky to Maduro. Then when they turned the internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
Sound familiar? Voting systems that go down for a certain period of time that all of a sudden favor the candidate who was losing. Do you remember the water pipe that burst in Georgia? And according to all available and public information, there is no job order for that that we've been able to find, according to people that have actually done journalism. Let's play cut 84 of Sidney Powell now saying on Lou Dobbs, Fox Business, the great Lou Dobbs, that by the time they flipped votes, they won by a narrow margin, just as they did here in the U.S. You see, Sidney Powell is giving references and examples to the Venezuelan kind of precedent, the historical, it's not that far in history, the rearview mirror, but what happened in Venezuela versus what happened here? Play cut 84.
Well, my other thought is that as soon as the Smartmatic system changed the votes that they wanted for their desired candidate, by the time they finish, they achieve a convincing but narrow victory of the certain number of votes they want for their candidate. This person saw, by what his own experience, exactly what was happening there was happening here.
And then finally, Sidney Powell, cut 85, they've adopted a position of willful blindness, and the Smartmatic software is now in every single vote system. Play cut 85.
They have adopted a position of willful blindness to this massive corruption across the country. And the Smartmatic software is in the DNA of every vote tabulating company's software and system.
So there you see Sidney Powell say very clearly that they have adopted a position of willful blindness and the Smartmatic software in every single vote system. Let's go back and play cut 81 of how they are able to wipe evidence.
Oh, definitely, Lou. I've just gotten some stunning evidence from a firsthand witness, a high-ranking military officer who was present when Smartmatic was designed in a way that the and I'm going to just read you some of these statements, if you don't mind, so I get them exactly right from the affidavit. Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, then the thumbprint would be tied to a record of the voter's name and identity as having voted, but that voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up but not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. Smartmatic agreed to create such a system and produce the software and hardware that accomplished the result for President Chavez.
So how does this all tie together into the global reset and into what we are dealing with here domestically? If we are serious about stopping this global agenda, which now is being used in, apparently the same software is being used in Venezuela as it is here, then we must get very serious about getting to the bottom of exactly what happened with all this software with Dominion voting systems. Can we go back to Sidney Powell and Maria Bartiromo on Sunday, who says she believes that this election, if all the evidence continues to flow, she says coming out of a fire hose, will be reversed. I think it was Sidney Powell and Maria Bartiromo, might have been cut 65, right around there. That one. Yeah, play tape.
It's the software that was the problem. Even their own manual explains how votes can be wiped away. They can put, it's like drag and drop Trump votes to a separate folder and then delete that folder.
And then play the next one of Sidney Powell mentioning, or the one previous, of her mentioning that there might be even the presidential team, transition team, might be disrupted.
Peter Neffinger, tell me how he fits into all of this.
Yes, well, he is listed as its former Admiral Peter Neffinger, or retired Admiral Peter Neffinger. He is president and on the board of directors of Smartmatic. And it just so happens he's on Mr. Biden's presidential transition team that's going to be non-existent.
Non-existent presidential transition team. And so we have now gone into great detail what the cost of the lockdowns will be. We have now gone into great detail of what the agenda of the Great Reset is. If we do not get to the bottom of this, they will never allow us to win another election again, period. And Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and Rudy Giuliani have been saying that the evidence is forthcoming. And we are ready for it because the clock is ticking and people's anxiety is getting to a breaking point. And while the Davos ruling class wants a great reset, Sidney Powell wants a constitutional reset. A constitutional reset where we can get back to the rule of law, that we can actually have fair and free elections, decentralized power, respect freedom of speech, respect Fourth Amendment rights, and there is no other explanation that could explain the irregularities. And I have challenged Democrat after Democrat to come on this program and explain to me how is it that Joe Biden did better in Dane County, Wisconsin, where Madison, Wisconsin is, with the biggest university voting center in the county closed, than Barack Obama did in 2008 and Barack Obama did in 2012. How is that possible? The entire civilization is now at stake. And you read what the World Economic Forum said in their Great Reset documents. They said very clearly that if they assume power, this will be the best and biggest opportunity for them to push forward their agenda. Why? Because they have broke the back of the voice of the people. What is a citizen? A citizen actually goes back to an original Greek term, which means co-ruler. That we are co-rulers, that there is no one that should have excessive or dominant force or power over you. Being a co-ruler is fundamental to having a check and balance, as Montesquieu would say, against bad people that want more influence and power to suppress you. And we completely and totally whitewash our history from any sort of dictator that abuses their power when all of a sudden the idea of a co-ruler gets eroded. You know when you no longer become a co-ruler? When the systems of how you elect your representatives are corrupted. You no longer are a co-ruler when all of a sudden the institutions are deteriorated. That's when you no longer become a co-ruler. And that's really what's at stake here. The American system is now being put in jeopardy by powerful people and corrupt politicians. The oligarchs are testifying right now in front of Congress. And no, we don't have a bunch of Russian billionaires in D.C. right now. We have the oligarchs of Menlo Park, the most powerful people that control what news you consume, what information you look at, what data that you base judgments on right now are in front of the U.S. Senate. Let's play tape of, I think we have tape of Jack Dorsey, is that right? The Buddhist oligarch? Okay, let's play tape of Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter, testifying in front of Congress right now. Play tape.
We were called here today because of an enforcement decision we made against the New York Post based on a policy we created in 2018. To prevent Twitter from being used to spread hacked materials. This resulted in us blocking people from sharing a New York Post article publicly or privately. We made a quick interpretation using no other evidence that the materials in the article were obtained through hacking, and according to our policy, we blocked them from being spread. Upon further consideration, we admitted this action was wrong and corrected it within 24 hours.
And so that's Jack Dorsey's opening statement. Let's play cut 90 of Dianne Feinstein, who is probably a Chinese agent, allegedly, so I can protect myself here, questioning Jack Dorsey about Trump's disputed election tweet and saying why they don't censor Trump more. Now, this before we get into this, let's cue up 90. But what you saw at this hearing was so interesting, because what you saw is the Democrats treat these tech companies as if they are agencies of government. Why are they not doing their job? Why are they not doing what we want them to do? Almost as if this was an IRS or Federal Trade Commission hearing saying, why are you not investigating more? That's how they treat Twitter, as if they are a subsidiary, as if they are an agency branch of the executive of government, as if they are staffed with civil service government employees. That's how Dianne Feinstein views Twitter. And by the way, she's not wrong in the sense that she lives in San Francisco in a massive home. All of her friends probably work for Twitter. All of her biggest donors are probably from Twitter. For her, it's an extension of her power apparatus. Play tape.
On November 12th, President Trump tweeted a conspiracy theory that 2.7 million votes for him were deleted. The warning label that Twitter has applied to that tweet said, quote, this claim about election fraud is disputed. Now, here's the question, and I think it is a tough issue. Do you believe this label does enough to prevent the tweet's harms? When the tweet is still visible, it's a highly emotional situation, but the tweet has no factual basis.
First of all, that's just not true what she is saying. Secondly, Dianne Feinstein is scolding Jack Dorsey as if he was like the deputy attorney general of the Department of Justice. They are harsher towards Twitter and Facebook differently than the Republicans are, which is the really interesting kind of diversion here. It's also really creepy, where the Democrats are saying, why are you not acting as if you work for us? You are our military. You are our infantry. Do your job or else we're going to punish you. And conservatives and Republicans are saying, why don't you allow us to speak? Meanwhile, a couple seats over, Dianne Feinstein says, why are you not doing more to not let them speak? Do you see what's happening here? That actually both sides are super interested in having this hearing. Sometimes when Republicans call hearings, the other side, the Democrats, will say, this is a stupid hearing. It's a waste of time. We're not going to be there. For example, when they had Amy Coney Barrett. But for this, the Democrats agree that this hearing is really, really important. They just view it differently. Listen to Jack's answer, cut 91.
But the tweet has a link to more information, to more conversation and more context that informs the situation, what's happening. So I do believe that connecting people to the larger conversation, giving them more context, is the right path here.
But they have to move to solicit that contact, right? It's not contained as an addendum to the original tweet.
The label is an addendum to the original tweet, and if you tap on it or click it, you will go to an expansion of the information.
So Dianne Feinstein is just one of many Democrats that's been saying throughout the day that it's time to censor Trump more and that conservatives have too much freedom to speak. And so you have here two very clear viewpoints on how we should interpret corporate oligarchy and the corporate takeover of our sovereign government. So I want to play the Josh Hawley clip. It's a little bit longer, but it's very, very good. I might cut it off some way through. Senator Josh Hawley is awesome. He's a senator from Missouri. This guy has an amazing future. I really am a big fan of Senator Josh Hawley. So let's play right here, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. He gets it. I'll tell you, it's a little bit longer clip, but let's work through it. Play tape.
Information that he knows that he has and has now acknowledged that he has, that tasks has under oath. Let me switch to a different topic. Mr. Zuckerberg, tell me about Sintra. What is the Facebook internal tool called Sintra?
Senator, I'm not aware of any tool with that name.
Mm. Well, Matt, let me see if this refreshes your memory. There's a demonstrative now over my shoulder. Sintra is a tool that Facebook uses to track its users, not just on Facebook, but across the entire internet. Sintra tracks different profiles that a user visits, their message recipients, their linked accounts, the pages they visit around the web that have Facebook buttons. Sintra also uses behavioral data to monitor users' accounts, even if those accounts are registered under a different name. And you can see a shot here, a screenshot provided to us of the Sintra platform. We blocked out the user's name in the interest of privacy, although you can see this individual's birth date and age when they first started using Facebook, their last login, as well as all manner of trackings. How many different devices have they used to access Facebook? How many different accounts are associated with their name? What accounts have they visited? What photos have they tagged? And on and on and on. Mr. Zuckerberg, how many accounts in the United States have been subject to review and shut down through Sintra?
Senator, I do not know because I'm not actually familiar with the name of that tool. I'm sure that we have tools that help us with our platform and community integrity work. But I am not familiar with that name.
Do you have a tool that does exactly what I've described and that you can see here over my shoulder? Or are you saying that that doesn't exist?
Senator, I'm saying that I'm not familiar with it and that I'd be happy to follow up and get you and your team the information that you would like on this. But I'm limited in what I can, what I'm familiar with and can share today.
It's always amazing to me, Mr. Chairman, how many people before this committee suddenly develop amnesia. Maybe it is something about the air in the room. Let me ask you this. When a Facebook employee accesses a user's private information, like their private messages or their personally identifiable data, is a record made of that, Mr. Zuckerberg?
Sorry, Senator, can you repeat that?
Is a record made of any time a Facebook employee accesses a user's private information, personally identifiable information, for example, messages? Is a record made any time a Facebook employee does that?
Senator, I believe so.
Does it trigger an audit?
Senator, I think sometimes it may.
How many audits have been conducted?
Senator, I do not know the exact number of
audits.
Can
you give me a list?
Senator, we can follow up on that to see what would be useful here.
Will you? I'm almost finished, Mr. Chairman. Will you commit to giving us a list of the number of times Facebook employees have accessed users' personal account information without their knowledge? Yes or no?
Senator, we should follow up on what would be useful here. It is, of course, in the operations of the company, if someone reports something, sometimes necessary for people at the company to go review and understand the context around what is happening when someone reports something. So this is fairly frequent and is a matter of course. We do have security systems that can detect anomalous patterns to flag, but we should follow up in more detail on what you're interested in.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just say in closing that what we have here is clear evidence of coordination between Twitter, Google, and Facebook. Mr. Zuckerberg knows he has the tools to track this, but he either doesn't remember or won't commit to letting us see it. We have evidence of Facebook tracking its own users all across the web. Mr. Zuckerberg won't answer questions about it, can't remember the name, isn't sure if the tool is deployed in this way, and won't commit to giving us basic information. I submit to you that this is both totally unacceptable and totally predictable, because it is exactly what these tech companies have done to the American people and to Congress for years now, which is why it is time we took action against these modern-day robber barons. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Klobuchar.
Modern-day robber barons. Now, what's the significance of that? How did we treat the robber barons back in the early 1900s? They got broken up. And I'm telling you right now, these tech companies, they think they can run roughshod over conservatives and Republicans without listening to any of our concerns or demands. It really is the tale of two Americas, everybody, because now you have the dumbest United States senator. She is a clueless idiot. She really is. I don't say that lightly. Who has a completely different way of asking questions of Mark Zuckerberg. Play tape of Mazie Hirono. She is stupid. Play tape.
Beat you up over claims that your platforms are supposedly biased against conservatives. The fact of the matter is that these allegations are completely baseless. Everyone who has systematically looked at the content of social media, from Media Matters to the Cato Institute to former Republican Senator John Kyle, has found absolutely no evidence of anti-conservative bias. And data from CrowdTangle show that far-right content from the likes of Fox News, Ben Shapiro, David Bongino dominates the daily top 10 most engaged pages on Facebook. So all of these allegations about the fact that you hire or all of your employees are left of center is relevant of nothing. Certainly not relevant of some sort of anti-conservative bias in terms of your content moderation. So the way I see it, this hearing is a transparent effort by my Republican colleagues to work the rest. And unfortunately, in my view, it is working. 2 weeks ago, the Washington Post reported that Facebook has bent over backwards to avoid claims that it was biased against conservatives, and it removed a strike against Donald Trump Jr.'s Instagram account that would have penalized him as a repeat offender. Apparently, one of several strikes removed from the accounts of Trump family members. Pro-Trump Super PAC American First Action was allowed to post material rated false by Facebook's third-party fact checkers without penalty. And these are just a few examples.
And so look, Mazie Hirono, she's the one that says we need the Green New Deal, no planes to Hawaii, but we'll take trains. She's the one that just told all men to shut up and listen. And she's also the one that asked Amy Coney Barrett whether or not she has raped anyone. So this is what we're dealing with here. She's just reading a pre-written script by some tech lobbyist that, you know, probably emailed it to her last evening. Mazie Hirono, she mentions here, well, Media Matters says that, if Media Matters says there's no bias, then it must be true. And of course, she doesn't talk about any of the verifiable examples of exactly the bias that is there. Now, the most significant question of the day, because again, a lot of this is sound bites in here and there, and they just say, I don't remember, Senator. I don't remember, Senator. I'll have to follow up. Now, that's a very important thing when these guys offer to follow up. I offer this advice to senators all the time. If they offer to follow up, and they have to because they're under sworn testimony, then make sure they follow up with something that is actually worthwhile. Senator Mike Lee with the best question of the day, I think, who actually says, hey, can you follow up with everyone who has been delisted, everyone that has been deplatformed? And he requests the information. This is the most important question of the day. Play tape.
I'd like to ask both of you, is there a list of every user or every content creator who has been deplatformed or had their contents reach altered or have had some other adverse action taken by either Facebook or Twitter altered? Mr. Zuckerberg, let's hear from you. Just a yes or no question. Does such a list exist?
Senator, I'm not aware of anything like that existing.
Mr. Dorsey, how about you?
Well, certainly whenever we take an action, it's recorded somewhere in a database, but I'm not sure if that's your intent.
So I'd like to ask both of you, if such a list exists, please send it to me. I'd like to see it. If such a list does not exist, you certainly do have the data necessary in order to generate some. And I request as a member of this committee that you generate such a list and provide it to me.
I love Senator Mike Lee. He's so polite, a lot more polite than I would be, and Senator Josh Hawley. And so what's the significance of Senator Mike Lee's question? If these oligarchs actually are able to provide the information that is being asked of them, that would be a verifiable list of every single person that has been demonetized and deplatformed, people that we know of and people that we don't know of, and it would show how long that list actually is. And Jack Dorsey exists. He said, of course it exists. It's in a database. Boom. Then follow up and say, okay, Jack, then I say, I demand as a member of this committee that you send me a list of all of it, and we'll be able to follow up with the reasons why you say that. It'd be very, very significant, incredibly important. We're just taking some of your questions here. Freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank some of our supporters here at charliekirk.com/support. Michelle from Pennsylvania, thank you so much for your support. Jenny from California, and also Bob from Texas. Thank you so much for your support. CharlieKirk.com/support. CharlieKirk.com/support. So we're going to be on top of the Dominion voting systems, hammer and scorecard, and so much more. We went deep into a lot of these topics and issues. We have some very, very exciting guests coming up as well, including we have Newt Gingrich. And so we're on top of this. You guys make it possible when you support us at CharlieKirk.com/support. And please send this program to one or two friends. The more people you send this program to, the harder it is for the oligarchs to actually suppress what we are doing here to go pursue truth. So thank you guys so much. Email us directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. And a new podcast was just dropped on the podcast feed with Newt Gingrich. Check it out. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.